Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Our very first guest in the history of Wilde and Tausch, which will be, I'm sure, a long and distinguished history.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
Aaron Rodgers, give us an over-under on what number would you set for how many shows we do.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say daily 52 weeks a year. I'm going to say you do about 230.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
And then what happens?
No, then Tausch kind of bows out.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Tuesday edition. The, I don't know, I think walk-off home runs are kind of cool edition. Wilde and Tausch, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, the ESPN Wisconsin app, live video streaming, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. At ESPN Milwaukee, at ESPN Madison, make sure you subscribe so you get notified every time we go live on YouTube. Live games, live shows, exclusive content, and more. Good to be back after Tausch and I were away yesterday. Thanks again to Molly and Jim from 100.5 ESPN Madison in the afternoons from 4 to 6. They filled in for us yesterday. Riley Out, their producer. And I guess they made a little noise on this program yesterday. They made the most of their day filling in their Wilde and Tausch takeover. We're going to talk about that. I was at the game last night, Freddie versus Miz.
Oh, you were at the Brewers game last night.
It was a good time last night. I had like
did you have tarps off?
I did not, no. There was discussion at one point. So I was in the top row in section 117, which was like behind home plate.
Yeah, that's
pretty
a great,
good seats.
It's a great spot.
Pretty good seats to watch, especially to watch that pitching performance last night. It was those two going out.
Pitch a pretty good pitching performance.
Well, it was good.
I mean,
the hype going into it was real. It was a lot of fun. There was discussion. So there were some ladies of varying ages around us, and they were commenting, oh, there's no tarps off section up there tonight. So I guess maybe 117 is going to have to take over.
And, that's what you said to these ladies?
I said it to the group around us, and no one was into it, so we did not go down that road. I'm Jesse Nelson. Normally, I am the producer of this show. Today, I get to slide into the host chair alongside the Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
Not wasting a lot of time getting that sweet ESPN Milwaukee shirt. It's been a week old. You've probably worn it three times since I've seen it.
I'm looking pretty good, if I do say so myself.
Better than tarps off.
Daytime Ryan Wollersheim running the show behind the glass. He's not prime time if he's on 9 to noon, right? Daytime Wollersheim.
No. Jesse, are we going tarps off for the whole show today? Did I miss it on the show sheet?
That was not the plan. That was not the plan, no.
This isn't the crew for a tarps off operation.
I don't know
I'm not sure
that,
if we have a show.
I think maybe it is the crew for
no,
the tarps
I don't think
off.
We have a crew,
actually.
We don't have a crew that'd be tarps off.
No?
No. You tell me who it is without having an HR violation.
Yeah, that's true. That's
the
an important
Dennis Semrau's in the building today.
He
can't get on the action.
He's a tarps off guy.
Riley would.
For sure.
Riley would get it.
The jump around on the ESPN Madison, ESPN
Rutledge
Milwaukee
would do.
YouTube
well,
streams.
Rutledge isn't shy of doing anything
no,
for clicks
for
on
sure.
social
he's
media.
He's not scared.
Did you hear this yesterday with those guys?
Not only did I hear it, I had people texting me like, who is this clown on the show? Who's sullying the Wilde and Tausch deal? And I'm sitting there like, I had not seen anything. I'm like, oh boy. And then I obviously saw the clip, and I think it's, I don't know how many clicks it's gotten, but it is, Jimmy. I mean, I love squabbling with Jimmy, especially with Bear stuff. He's obviously a huge Chicago sports fan, which is fine. They've had they're having their shine this offseason. We'll see if that continues on. But, I mean, I saw the take. It has just gone awful.
Well, for those of you who may have missed it, I know not everyone listens every day.
People are always asking, like, do we really believe the stuff that he says? And I say, I think he actually does. I think most of it. I don't think this one.
Jim what I know of Jim Rutledge, he's our resident Chicago Bears fan here at ESPN Madison. He is also a lifelong Cubs fan. He is not afraid to
He'll take the
instigate.
Smoke, which I respect that he'll take
yeah,
smoke.
As do
Absolutely.
I. This one did seem a little preposterous.
Contrived?
I don't know if I want to go that far. You judge for yourself. If you missed it yesterday, it'd be hard to not see it on social media if you follow our platforms. Everybody was on this yesterday. Here you go. Here's Jim Rutledge leading off yesterday's Molly and Jim takeover of Wildy and Tausch with this take on the Brewers' walk-off home run that he was in attendance for on Sunday.
I think walk-off home runs are the least exciting way to end a game. I just saw it. Like I've experienced a walk-off
sounds
football
worse than it
play.
Did on the clip.
I've experienced a walk-off game winner, a basketball yep. shot, and I experienced a walk-off home run. They're all awesome. But the walk-off home run, like, it was just all right, cool. I mean, again, it was like
yeah, but then
it's a walk-off, but like I've a game-winning basketball shot, there's nothing like that. And then a game-winning football, and I think it's because the games are more important because it still was like cool.
Oh, boy.
Old T, would you like to take it first?
I mean, I saw the walk-off. It was awesome. Contreras hits it. It is an absolute nuke. He takes the bat and fires it 40 feet in the air.
Still
hasn't
landed.
The Brewers stunk all day. They steal a win and sweep. And he's telling me that's the least exciting? How about a walk-off walk? Or a walk-off hit batsman, or a walk-off error, or a, you could maybe make an argument of suicide squeezes, but I don't think so. I don't think there's anything in baseball better. Yeah, hey, Joe, talk to the Toronto Blue Jays fans in 93. Boy, that Joe Carter walk-off, what a bummer that was. Boy, that wasn't very entertaining. Or freeze from the Cardinals when he did. What the? I can't. I like supporting teammates. And I will. And I'm going to still support Jim, but that is the god-awfulest take I've ever heard.
So, okay, I listened back because I couldn't believe the clip. I was golfing
I
yesterday
honestly
afternoon.
Thought he was, like, I thought he was kind of joking. Maybe he is.
I was pretty disconnected from our content yesterday, but I saw this pop up on social media from, like, literally everybody in the state of Wisconsin had something to say about this. And so, oh, boy, what happened? So I went back as I was driving back late last night from the game back to Sun Prairie. I listened to the hour of our podcast on the ESPN Wisconsin app where Molly and Jim took over the show. I was like, maybe there's context that was missing.
There could be some nuance to it.
And there really wasn't. I guess what he's saying is a walk-off, like a Hail Mary touchdown to win a game is more thrilling than a walk-off home run. Or a buzzer beater from three-point range or from mid-court, like the Brust buzzer beater. Like, that's more exciting than a walk-off home run. If you want to say...
If you're watching baseball, there is nothing more exciting than what we just saw. Other than it being a playoff game, that is as good as it gets.
Indeed. I agree with you. I think baseball, because the scoring can
there's
come
no
at a
clock.
Premium. Like
there's no clock unless we get knocked out of a tournament because we ran out of time. But
the walk-off is the most thrilling moment you can possibly get. A walk-off home run specifically is the most thrilling moment you can possibly get in a baseball game.
I'm just going to chalk this up. This is just a bad take by Jimmy. It's a terrible take. And we all have them. We all have them. This was a terrible one.
I don't know if he regrets it or not.
No,
I can't
he
wait
probably
to hear
didn't
what he
regret it, but
later.
It's a terrible take, and there's not a ton else I'm going to weigh in on. It just is really dumb. And that's
you
okay.
You can tell Rutledge that.
Thanks, Barry. Molly and Jim, weekdays 4 to 6 on ESPN Madison, if you were
I'm trying to
enthralled
think, can,
by their work Wally, filling in for us
can you tell
yesterday.
Me a better way to finish a baseball game than what we saw, other than a playoff Joe Carter bomb? There
I mean,
isn't any. The Contreras bat flip with it,
the bat flip was
it was just
elite.
Unbelievable.
Sellout crowd, like everyone's still there because the kids
I'm
are
sure
running
I'm sure everybody
the
was just
after.
Sitting there thinking, boy, I wish they'd have walked him. Oh, I wish they would have had an ABS challenge on that. Oh, I wish the manager would have come out and changed pitchers. Like, I can't help him, man. Like, I'd like to sit here and support. I got nothing. Got nothing for him.
Anything you'd like to add, Will? You used to produce that show.
I used to produce for Jim, Matt, and Molly. Now Molly and Jim from 4 to 6.
Now, would you tell Jim in real time, because you produced for a long time with those guys,
mm-hmm.
would you get in Jim's ear and be like, Jim, this is so dumb.
I would let him do it.
Afterwards, would you just kind of, Jimmy, this is so dumb, well, man.
I would do like Riley.
What
Elf,
did Molly
producer.
Have to say? Was Molly sitting there like, Jim, what the blank are you talking about?
You kind of heard Molly's responses there a little bit. She was like, yeah, she agreed with him for the most
she
part.
She did not agree with him.
I think the important part for both of them is that neither of them really consider themselves baseball fans
that's the
at
thing.
All.
Like, that, and that is true. They are honest about their fandom.
Sure.
They think baseball is probably the most boring of all the sports that we cover.
Yeah.
You know, here on Madison's home of the Brewers and 620 WTMJ, the network flagship. I don't think there's anything boring about the Brewers waking up today as the best team in baseball.
If the Brewers were 38-60, I could see, all right. But even then, that would be one of the highlights.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, today, the Brewers wake up. The best record in Major League Baseball. Dodgers lose, Brewers win last night, and the Brewers wake up today for the first time, unless I guess technically when they were 3-0, they had the best record in baseball back in late March, early April. But besides that, first time this season, best record in the big leagues, our Milwaukee Brewers, number one position, just like they were at this stage of the season last year.
And that's the beautiful part of it. So, Jimmy, we appreciate you and Molly grabbing the show yesterday. Takes be whatever. Thank you for doing that. So you're at the game. Big crowd. I think with Miz pitching, we should sell out every game.
It was not a sellout. There were seats available. I was a little disappointed. I wasn't surprised. It is a Monday night.
It's the Miz.
It is Miz and Freddie. We knew Freddie. If they would have been able to promote it like a day or two more in advance that it was Miz versus Freddie, I think that would have been a sellout last night.
Okay. Because
I think there were some late attendees who came in. It was a good crowd.
Because Miz, obviously, we just put him on the shelf for, what, 10, 14 days, whatever
it was.
About
2 weeks.
And I don't know. You mentioned something in our text about pitch count.
He was on a pitch count last night. He only went four innings, so he didn't even get the win, even though it was a landslide victory for the Brewers when he left the game. But that's not – I'm not worried about that. Like, that's what we're going to get from now until probably early September is we're going to have Miz on a pitch count. We're going to manage Miz's
minutes. We all agree, though, once we get to the pennant season and we're not Strasburg in this. He is going full tilt.
Right, that's why you do it now. That's why you do it in – you know, give him a full week between starts. Give him maybe skip a start, go 10 days. Like, that's why you do it now.
Okay.
So he's ready in September if there's a chase to be had. And they play the Cubs a couple of times, I think, in September. So you're going to want that. Like, have him ready for those big games head-to-head against the Cubs. And then have him ready, obviously, for the playoff run, whatever that looks like. Top two get the first round bye through the wild card round. So that's what the Brewers are definitely contending for. They're in a good spot right now. Couple of games up on the Braves and now a half game up on the Dodgers. My question for you, Tausch, and we're going to talk with Dom Catronio of Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ. He's going to join us around 10:30 this morning, so we'll have a more lengthy Brewers conversation with him. But I was listening to some of his postgame show on the drive home last night before I turned on the Molly and Jim podcast.
A lot of stuff going on.
It was a long drive home last night. Do we feel better about the Brewers as the best team in baseball today compared to how we felt them about them as the best team in baseball last year at this exact same time?
I would have said until about a week ago, yes, but all of the injuries, and I know Woody was beat up last year too, correct? And obviously he's done.
He had just come back around this time last year.
He's not going to be, and I think there was probably in the back of everybody's mind after, you know, the game we went to and we saw him have to come out of the game because he was losing velocity. He had to miss a bunch of time, and then, you know, he came back. You kind of were hoping, but I think everybody kind of knew that this was going to be touch and go at best. So tell me how Harrison's going to look and if he can be that guy. I think starting pitching-wise, obviously Miz. If Miz is an Oral Hershiser 98 or 1988, I think it's going to be really tough. He's going to have to be so dominant because you're going to have to lean on him to go deep into games, and he's going to have to, you know, completely control it. And if he does that, you got a chance. But I do wonder, Milwaukee, I think, does have to make a move. What that move is going to be, what do we have, 2 weeks, 3 weeks left before the trade deadline? The Brewers are going to have to make a move and bring somebody in because I don't think, as we're sitting here right now, you feel good enough about their starters in postseason play that we can get it done. So I don't know if that answers your question. I felt much better last year knowing Miz was coming on. You have Freddie as your ace at that point. That was where I think you really felt like you could make some hay, and you did until you couldn't. Are we better suited to beat the LA Dodgers this year than we were last year? Miz would have to, can we throw Miz three times in a seven-game series? Because we didn't even get to game five last year. That's going to be the tricky part.
So Miz was obviously in a different capacity in the postseason last year, coming in out of the bullpen a couple of times, which was, they were like pseudo starts because the opener, Ashby, went, and then Miz would come in. This year, obviously, he would be treated differently.
Is this pitching staff, as we sit here today on the 21st, better than last year's?
At this juncture, I would say no, but the top is better. Miz is better as an ace than Freddie ever was.
And that agree.
Was never more obvious
than
last
night. You're anti-Freddie.
I'm anti-Freddie. Everybody knows that. Yeah, and I said Freddie Peralta, five innings, three runs minimum last night, and they score first. As a shock that that would have happened in a big game for Freddie Peralta. Just shocked. I'm out on the Freddie Peralta sweepstakes for a trade, by the way. We can talk about that a little bit. We can, sucks now. He lost it. I'm sorry. I cheered his name. I gave him a good ovation like many of the fans did last night. The Monday crowd was happy to see Freddie pregame. We love everything he did for the Brewers over almost a decade, but dude's lost it. He doesn't have it anymore, and let's not go down that road because he doesn't perform well in the playoffs anyway. So Miz is better than Freddie was as an ace last year. I think the rest of it, even if Harrison comes back and is able to go in the postseason, he doesn't have postseason experience. Gasser doesn't really have a ton of postseason experience. Sprout doesn't. Like, these are guys that you would be counting on that are kind of like keeping the rotation afloat and are good starting pitchers this year, but they don't have that postseason experience we saw with Priester last year. Like, he was great all season. You get to the playoffs, it's a little different. So I think if there is a starting pitcher available that and McCullers was a great addition. He pitched last night, had a couple of nice innings. It was garbage time, but it was getting him in there. He would be a kind of guy that adds postseason experience as a starter. If you could turn him around, that'd be nice. The Scooble notion,
I feel like
that ship has sailed.
Yeah, it should. Yeah, but I'm all right with
that. I wonder if there's somebody else out there from a team we may not even know. Somebody that's like on the Athletics or the
Twins,
Orioles. Yeah, the Twins.
Joe Ryan.
The Twins have a couple of good dudes. I think that would be nice additions. That they're not the Scooble names. They're not Cy Young candidates, but they're guys that have postseason experience that could come in and stabilize with the unknowns of what the rotation will look like going into September, October. That's what I think the Brewers need to do in the next 2 weeks.
Do you think the psyche of our fans has changed? Do you think it is another good regular season? We've seen this movie. Do you think now that we've had so much success, we still haven't had postseason success, do you think our fans are now, the expectations are this team needs to win a World Series, or do you still think, oh, shucks, it's just too tough against them Dodgers?
I am ready to say something about the 2026 Milwaukee Brewers.
You're going to have a conversation.
I am going to have a conversation.
Well, I'm going to tell you about Pell, and I can't wait to hear. Is this going to be bolder than Jimmy Rutledge's terrible take yesterday?
I can't. Jim Rutledge has a chance to have the boldest take of the entire year and maybe the decade with what he said on this show.
In fairness,
yesterday,
you tried to fire Pat Murphy last year.
And I think what Jim said yesterday might be worse.
I don't know, Jim, but I do know Windows, and I know Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Shopping for new windows and doors, they should not include haggling. Pella sticks to straightforward pricing, honest conversations, helping homeowners find the right fit for their home, and they never use high-pressure sales tactics. When you buy direct through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, the same team that manufactures your windows and doors, they also sell them, install them, and they service them. Real pricing, premium quality, no game. Schedule your free in-home consultation today. PellaWI.com.
Evan Cohen scheduled to appear from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio at 9:35. Dom Catronio, Brewers Extra Innings at 10:30. Craig Karmazin, founder and CEO of Good Karma Brand, scheduled to appear in studio with us in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Part of our 10 for 10 series built by Outdoor Living Unlimited as part of our Wildy and Tausch 10th anniversary presented by Steinhoffels. Lots to get to today, including what I am ready to say about the 2026 Milwaukee Brewers. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Ooh! This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Jesse and Tausch today on Wildy and Tausch. Summer sabbatical season continues for Jason Wildy. And then it'll start from Mark Tauscher.
That is true.
Long time until we're all going to be back here together on the same show. So I guess I'm your cousin sub of the day.
I'm debating if I'm going to do the Jesse Nelson or not, though. We're doing a long trip. We're going to have a nice trip when we're out. And I think I'm going to fly back and work a day, and then I'm going to go back. Well, you think that makes sense? Just because I want to take a vacation from my vacation, mid-vacation.
Yeah, it's just a quick ride, quick fly for you, right?
Yeah, is when you go somewhere on vacation, you want to immediately in the middle of it stop. Because that's why you go.
Yeah, you
got to
break up the fun.
Exactly.
I don't know where you're going, but if you're going for 2 weeks, I'm guessing
not going for 2 weeks.
I'm guessing it's not Crivets, 3 hours
maybe
away in an easy drive where you're just kind of chilling at the house for 2 weeks. My guess is that's
how
not
would
what
you
you're
equivocate
up to
a 3 hour drive, hour and a half flight? Like, how would you equivocate? Because you obviously got to get to the airport,
the whole
et cetera.
Deal with it. It's so much
give
more
me an
expensive.
Can you give me an equivocation?
A 3 hour drive would be the equivalent of going through the process of the hop, skip, and a jump flight from Chicago to Milwaukee.
No.
Yeah, that's the equivalent of a 3 hour drive.
At least, I think
it's in-state 3 hour drive.
How about this? It's the same as going direct to LaGuardia out of Madison.
It is not at all the same
as going
to LaGuardia.
45 minute airtime. It takes four. You can go to the Madison airport and get there 45 minutes early if everything is running fluid. Boom, boom. It's an hour 45. So you're looking at less than 3 hours all in on your time to get to LaGuardia.
Look.
Am I wrong?
I don't think I fly the same way you fly, and I don't need to go any further into that.
There is a direct flight from Madison to LaGuardia.
I have flown to LaGuardia, and I have not experienced it being that fast and the equivalent of a three-hour drive up north and back same day.
But you're 6 hours. You're 6 hours in.
You're not even going to do this, so I don't even know why we're entertaining the notion. You're
right,
just
go ahead.
Being
are you going to give us your
yeah,
sweet
I got
take.
Something to say. I got something to say about the Milwaukee Brewers. After being at the game last night, watching Miz go against Freddie, another win, four in a row, best record in baseball, waking up 100 games into the season here this morning. The 2026 Milwaukee Brewers remind me of the 2014-15 Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team. They are not regarded by anyone locally or nationally as the top dog.
You know, Frank was the player of the year. And
Miz is going to be probably
so
the Cy Young winner.
Kentucky is the Dodgers.
Kentucky is the Dodgers.
God, I hope I hope the Cubs aren't Duke Blue Devils.
They won't be. The Milwaukee Brewers and the Wisconsin Badgers. A lot of similarities. Frank Kaminsky, player of the year. Miz, best pitcher in the game. A lot of great players. A lot of great lottery picks. Sam Decker was obviously crucial on that team. You guys remember all the players. The Brewers have a lot of great role players. They have a couple of really great veteran leaders. They have a lot of young guys who have been contributing in a big way. And
who's Gosser? Yelich?
Maybe Gasser. How about that? I believe.
It's actually pretty quick.
Thank you. Look at this guy. I believe the mentality of the fan base is just like when the Badgers were going through that season. Everyone was scared of Kentucky. Kentucky was undefeated.
Oh, you think so?
Kentucky was the team that no one wanted to face. Everyone except here in the state of Wisconsin. We said, we're ready for Kentucky. Everything that the Badgers did that entire season was with the mentality that there was going to be a rematch showdown, because remember they lost to Kentucky in the Final Four the year before. There was going to be a rematch showdown with Kentucky in the Final Four.
I'm starting to like this.
And that would be almost the exact same scenario that the Brewers and the Dodgers could be on a collision
high
course for this
talent,
year.
Talent, everybody, the Blue Bloods. This is starting to make sense.
So every decision the Brewers are making, every way that we're watching the team and how we're assessing them all season long is all with the thought of how can we take down the Dodgers? If every fan around the state of Wisconsin and beyond is thinking that same thing, watching and talking about the trade deadline and all this stuff, I'm sure Matt Arnold's thinking it. I'm sure the players are thinking it. I'm sure Murph's thinking it. And yes, there are certain goals you want to accomplish, just like winning a Big Ten championship or beating a rival in the regular season. Of course, the Brewers want to achieve all that stuff. But the end goal here is everything is based on beating the Dodgers in October. And as long as that's the mentality, and as long as the Brewers are not afraid of that challenge, just like Wisconsin was not afraid of that challenge in 2015, I think they can make us believe.
Wow.
He hit him with the made him believe,
I
too.
Saw that at the end. That was a really well thought out, very interesting and thought-provoking conversation starter. I am interested in going further with that.
Would you like to join the club?
I need to like get my head wrapped around it, because at first I'm like, nah, because we were so caught up in it. There was not one time after we lost to Kentucky and everybody came back, there was not one time that I thought we were an underdog. Not once. Even Kentucky. I thought, going to be a tough game. We can beat them. And we did. So I think the psyche of Brewers fans is a little bit different just because of the economics of it. And obviously economics wasn't as big of a piece of it in 2015 as it is now in collegiate sports. But your parallels and how things are viewed, I think there's some there. And I definitely want to go a little deeper.
Jim on the South Side, in this scenario, I think the Yankees would be the Duke Blue Devils in the World Series.
Oh, yeah, because the Cubs couldn't.
Which,
thank you, Jimmy.
That would be
true.
That would be correct.
That is true.
Hey, I don't want the analogy to be that perfect. I just want it to be mostly perfect.
So who do we beat in the grade eight to get to the Final Four?
Arizona.
So they'd be the Cubs.
Now, Arizona would be the Cubs. We've got their number.
And the Braves are in there somewhere.
Historic rivalry.
Sean Miller, Craig Counsell.
The Braves might be Bradley.
Well, no, who'd they be? Like North Carolina would be the Atlanta. Yeah, that actually kind of checks. There's a lot of similarities here, I think.
I think
like this one.
This is a much better take than what you've done in the past, for sure.
I'm giving people the tingles with this excitement, Matt and Superior says. I like giving people the tingles.
Stop saying tingles like
Ooh.
That.
Oh,
God.
Evan Cohen scheduled to appear next from Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. Tausch, would you like to tell us about Outdoor Living
I'd
Unlimited?
I'd love to. Sarah and I were finally, I think, ready to roll. We went into the showroom down on Stoughton Road, and there's so much great stuff down there, but we are ready. We met with Aaron and Eric Brown, brothers and owners of Outdoor Living Unlimited, and they were the right guys for us to work with. Same hardworking values. Love the fact Outdoor Living Unlimited is family-owned and locally operated here in the state. Their showroom is that must-see. As I told you, they got the outdoor kitchen, screen rooms, more and more stuff. Outdoor Living Unlimited is a must-start with OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com and end with an amazing outdoor space. Check them out, OutdoorLivingUnlimited.com.
Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio scheduled to appear next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
The Miz is bringing the heat.
Struck him out swinging. 104 on that fastball from Miz. Back-to-back K's opens up his outing.
You're listening to 100.5 ESPN, Madison's home of the Brewers.
William Tausch, Jesse and Tausch today. Jason's portion of summer sabbatical season continues. Joined now by Evan Cohen, host of Unsportsmanlike, weekday morning starting at 5 a.m. Central Time on ESPN Radio. I heard him on my way in this morning promoting
that. It's quite a pose we have of him up on the screen here.
That's a
legs
nice
crossed
new addition,
with the hands crossed over his crossed legs.
That's a
interesting
move. A nice new addition to the video stream.
Suppose.
Evan, yes. I heard him promoting Lil Wayne was going to be on today.
Oh, okay.
Evan, did you get a chance to ask Lil Wayne what he thought of Devontae Wyatt's contract extension?
Yeah, we kind of kept it a little bit more Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur, Jesse, but no, we did not ask him that, but he was wonderful in studio with us this morning.
Evco, you had your big party Friday night, and it sounds like there's a lot of folks there, but what? You couldn't hold the court like Tannenbaum did?
Well, okay. See, here's the problem.
What?
Let me give you the setup. So every year, every summer on our show, we have a big hibachi event at my house where we invite
Rumor has
everybody.
It that's getting a little stale and we maybe need to change the theme, but continue.
Oh, yeah? Where'd you hear that rumor?
I can't. You know I'm not a journalist, but I'm not going to reveal my sources. Go ahead.
Keep it fresh.
Interesting. That is amazingly insulting. But okay.
How is that insulting? It's not insulting.
Hey,
Evan, you don't want to have the same thing. You're a fresh guy. You're about change and growth. You're not going to go with the same thing year in, year out. You're a creative dude. Come on.
Well, tell me what you want me to do then.
It's not up to me. It's not my party.
What do you mean?
That's up to you.
It's outdated. It's
no,
stale.
I just said it's 3 years. It's time. Yeah, maybe do a little something different. Maybe a pig roast.
Wildy and Tausch's 10th anniversary presented by Steinhoffels.
Potential pig roast. All right, continue. Yeah, I'm a big fan of pig roast. I think having a pig with a spit and an apple in his mouth—I love
the apple.
Those.
Yep.
That's maybe not your cup of tea, but continue.
Yeah, I don't think it's my cup of tea. I would agree with you on that. So anyway, boy, this is off to an interesting start. Where's Jason? I miss him.
Yeah, so does YouTube.
So everybody's at my house. And the entire show and all the people that work on the show, TV, hair, makeup, et cetera. And so we last year had Mike Tannenbaum there, and he couldn't make it this year. And Mike was amazing. at asking these like dinner questions and combine type questions, etc. So Mike and Dan Orlovsky kept sending me these questions. So I literally read them off of my phone, and they didn't really go over well because you realize a lot of them are like negative. And you know, if you're sitting there with people, you don't really want to have that negative conversation.
Fair. Yeah, it's fair.
So, yeah, it wasn't great in terms of that. And then we found our way. But, yeah, that wasn't ideal. I would agree with you on that.
When did you know it was going south, and what did you do to turn it around?
What a question, Jesse. Well done.
Really good question. Jesse's having a hell of a show. I'm going to also give you a comp that he just made that was great, too. Go ahead, Evan.
Okay. So, when everyone kept looking at me, realizing it's negative, so we started to ask, like, you know, great questions or whatever, or, like, more positive questions. And then the questions that I was asking were positive. My wife turns to me and was like, there's no elaboration on that. It'd be like, all right, favorite concert. And then you're just like, The Killers at Madison Square Garden.
Great concert.
Like, all right, well, the conversation's now over as a result of that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Would you like to share my comparison?
Cop? Yeah,
so, go ahead.
So we're obviously, Jesse was at the Brewers game last night, Miz, and I said that when Miz pitches, the AmFam Field should be sold out. He is box office. He needs to be, that place needs to be bumping. Jesse was there.
Yeah.
And I asked a simple question because Miz is obviously better. But the Brewers pitching staff, I think, with the injuries, is not quite where it was. But we are always, because we're in a small market, I think there's the, aw shucks, we're having great regular seasons, but the Dodgers. And Jesse teased us out and then brought it back and enamored me with this comp.
I am comparing the 2026 Milwaukee Brewers to the 2014-15 Wisconsin men's basketball team. The Dodgers are Kentucky. Everyone else in the league is scared of them. The Brewers, just like the Badgers that season, every move they made, every thought throughout the season was all about how can we position ourselves ready for the challenge to take on the top dog in the Final Four. And I think the Brewers are looking at this the same way. How can they conserve Mizorowski? How can they add pieces before the trade deadline? How can they have the roster in the best position possible to go toe-to-toe with the Dodgers? They're not afraid of that challenge in the NLCS.
Yeah. So the only problem with that comp is then you're projecting that the Brewers will not win the World
Series. That is true.
Yeah, the Yankees are due.
The Yankees are due.
Yeah,
and
Yankees
that's
are
the
due.
Negative to it. But we're trying to be like your hibachi cookout and stay positive.
Yeah. So that was that was the first Final Four team.
Second Final Four team. So it's very similar in this respect too, Evan. We lost to Kentucky / the Dodgers, and then the next year we built back better and found a way to get it done. Until we didn't.
Yeah, and I thought there was some element of that second team with the Badgers. That there was some maybe addition by subtraction on that second team. Is that
Freddie Peralta is Ben Brust.
Freddie Peralta is
Ben Brust. Hello. Oh, okay. Continue.
Who said I was referring to Ben? I mean, I don't know. That's it. And Freddie Peralta got rocked last night, obviously, with the Mets.
Yeah, I think he's playing chess, man. I think he wants to come back to Milwaukee, wants to have it so the Mets are just ready to...
That's ridiculous.
And not have to give up as many prospects. I think that is definitely in play. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's an interesting comp. I don't think that people like the comp, though, because I think right now, wouldn't Brewers fans, you guys would know way better than I would, wouldn't Brewers fans like to project out, Jesse, the idea of winning the World Series, considering what, you're 63-37 right now, if I'm not mistaken?
100 games in, best record in baseball, waking up this morning for the first time this season. Obviously, the goal is get to and then win,
Jesse,
it.
Right, so then what Brewers fans are getting from you today is a comp that would not have them winning the World Series. Wouldn't they rather have it as whatever? Geez, when was the last time? Maybe I'm going to be dumb and there's an obvious one. When was the last time a state of Wisconsin team was the best team all year and won it all? Were the
96.
Bucks the one seed in 21?
No. 96, the Packers football squad. And even then there was... Oh, what about the Cowboys?
Or Wisconsin women's hockey almost every year.
Yeah, Wisconsin's women's hockey would be up there. Yep.
So I'm not saying that the comp is a bad one because it's the Dodgers-Kentucky that's a big part of the comp.
Right.
But I do wonder if unintentionally you're shortchanging the Brewers.
Well, the reason I ask the question is because I'm just wondering when and or if Brewers fans will ever psychologically allow themselves to go, because we're always kind of like, well, the regular season is great. I kept asking last year, why are we playing like underdogs? We have the best record in baseball. Well, the Dodgers. And it turns out those folks were right. So when does it become, I don't care about the economics of it, because that is the reason that we feel insecure. That's the reason Brewers fans feel, because we don't have the depth. Oh, we have an injury here or there. We're not going to be able to stay. Because they're so loaded. That's why. And I don't know until we actually do it if we'll actually believe that we can.
So let's play out one other thing, Tausch.
Okay.
So, and again, I'm not trying to be insulting towards the Brewers fans. I'm trying to be, like, understand your logic and reasoning, because I think it makes sense. If this team, this year, playing this exact way, with that guy you just mentioned in Miz, who I want to come back to in a second, were exactly as is, but they were wearing a Dodgers or Yankees uniform, would we say the season's over, they're winning the World Series?
Is Ohtani with us? Yeah. Yeah.
No, but you get what I'm saying.
I like, do, but...
It's a laundry thing more than anything
else.
No,
it's a like, money thing. Can't... It's not a laundry thing.
No.
If the Brewers had the same amount of value play that they have, that the Dodgers do, I don't think Brewers fans would look at it. The Brewers are looking at it saying, can we add some high-priced talent that will be able to pay and play? Because right now, even though our record is better, our record was better last year, and I know that nobody really felt great having to play the Dodgers. We were excited that we were there, but I don't think anybody thought we could beat them, and it proved out that was the case.
Right. Let me go back to the Miz thing, because I have something I can relate to with this. So I agree with you conceptually. It's like, hey, you know, if the Miz starts, everyone needs to be there. Obviously, Tausch, you drove to Milwaukee, his last start, paid your money out of your own pocket to go, so I appreciate that out of you. But in 2003, I was living in South Florida the year the Marlins won the World Series, and Dontrelle Willis.
I bet you jumped on that bandwagon.
D-Train!
You jumped. Did you have Marlins gear when that happened? You did, didn't you?
I didn't, no.
Yeah, you did. You had a hat.
I'm a lifelong Mets fan.
You got an old school Marlins hat somewhere. You're a bandwagon guy.
I have Marlins gear because I was the second pick in the Marlins fantasy draft years ago, no big deal, by Charlie Huff. I went to a fantasy camp where they had a combine, and I pitched, and I was unbelievable against no batters. They drafted me second overall. We get to the game on that Sunday. I hit six batters in one inning. An underrated part of my athletic career.
Did Huff teach you the knuckler? Were you throwing a knuckler?
No, he did not.
You got if Charlie Huff is drafting you, you got to learn a knuckler. Like, that's crazy.
Retroactively a bad job by me or by him?
By him. He drafts you in. He drafts you. He needs to utilize his managerial prowess. You're a coachable dude.
Right.
You should also have been, because you research things, you should have known Huff is a great knuckler. I don't really know what I'm doing pitching.
I didn't research Charlie Huff as a knuckleballer. I knew Charlie Huff as a knuckleballer.
I know, but you should have went into it and said, I know I'm not getting anybody out with my 48-mile-an-hour fastball. I need to learn to knuckle it.
It
sounds like you didn't want to even go down that road.
I think
you know what I'm learning? Evan, I'm learning something about you today. I've known you a long time, and I'm learning something about you today. You don't like change. You don't like change at all. You don't want to change the hibachi. You don't want to change from throwing a 50-mile-an-hour fastball to a knuckleballer, even though that would help your team win.
And he misses Wildy.
And I got to be honest. And I miss Wildy. I don't like to change the
Change is not where you're at. All right, so do we have this audio ready, Wooly?
Yeah, Wooly's producing, so we got it ready.
Okay, there's actually audio that is clipped and run. Wow, what a... What a
that
deal. That's a change that we can embrace and love.
Happy to do my job, guys.
Let's hear what Evan had to say, and then let's get Evan's reactions to Evan's quotes.
I can't hear again how great a quarterback is and that he should be top 10, and how dare the scouts and executives and GMs leave him off the list of the top 10 with Jeremy Fowler, ESPN.com, and how great a head coach is that we give him a contract extension that's never won a division together as a partner. The Green Bay Packers are overrated right now. I'm sorry. Micah Parsons is not healthy for the majority of the first half of the season, if not all of it. They're in a division with the Chicago Bears, who were better than them last year. They're in a division with Javonte Lawrence's Detroit Lions, Lions, who have been better over the last few years than the Green Bay Packers. This is not to say the Packers can't win the division. It's not to say the Packers can't make noise in the playoffs. It's to say we have anointed this combination QB coach with no evidence of the anointment.
Who is anointing is my question, because sports books have the Lions and Packers about an even push. I look today, the Lions are favored in I don't know which sports book. So who's doing the anointing? I have said on this show that I think it's Lions-Packers going to battle it out. So tell me who's the anointer in this scenario.
Well, you just did in some ways, whether you're meant to or not, because you actually put them ahead of the Bears.
Oh, I definitely have put them ahead of the Bears. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Number two is when that top 10 list came out, I would say the number one beef that people had in reaction to it was that Jordan Love was not in the top 10.
Well, he was behind Caleb, was the big beef. Was behind Caleb Williams, was the biggest beef.
Okay. And Herbert.
Yeah, but and Herbert one, I don't.
Herbert's
don't think it's
fine,
fair,
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, the Herbert Harbaugh combination, relative to what I was talking about, has done as little as Love and LaFleur.
They've done less. They have less wins in the playoffs.
Yeah. I just think at some point, like, I'm not interested in knocking Jordan Love nor Matt LaFleur. At some point, tell me, when you present your resume, what's on it? Build the resume. Go ahead. You guys build the Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur resume.
All right, Matt LaFleur's resume, I have said, the winningest head football coach in the history of the NFL through three seasons. He has rebuilt the quarterback spot.
You didn't listen to me.
I said
Jordan Love, Matt LaFleur resume together.
Matt LaFleur's resume
is
Rodgers
years.
Okay, Matt LaFleur has went and taken a first-year quarterback that most people, after watching him through his COVID year, and I didn't even think he could play in the NFL, they have...
Wasn't a first-year quarterback.
His first-year quarterback was, what, 23? And he continues to get better and better. All of his numbers, everything that you track, has gotten better and better. He's won a playoff game when nobody thought they would. He's been to the playoffs every year. Yes, they need to be better in the playoffs. But as far as saying that their record and their resume, if you want to try to put them in the echelon of the Eagles and some of these other teams, I'm with you. They're not. They have not been there with Jordan. But if you're trying to say that they... Yes.
So think about if somebody was applying for a job at Tauscher Industries, okay?
565 Analytics, we call that.
Creamerica.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so if the top...
Why don't
the
they just
was,
get a... Why don't they put a rubber ball around the oil tanker? Well, you... Okay. Yeah. Okay.
All right, Vandalay. Playing it out. If the top thing on the resume was... I've gotten better and better every year. You'd be excited to hire him? That's what you just said. The number one thing on the LaFleur Love combination resume is they got better year after year. Oh, okay, so somebody comes in with a resume, we got better year after year. Thanks. I thought you were going to present you got worse year after year. Give me something tangibly. Division title, playoff wins, give me MVP, Coach of the Year. Give me something tangibly that is on their resume. And that is not in any way, shape, or form to say nothing can be on or will be on the resume. Give me what it is right now.
I don't care about Coach of the Year. Let me just put it that way. If you're asking me, I'm looking at Jordan Love's stats and I'm looking at his leadership, and not everything is tangible. If you're just going off
a resume is literally tangible.
Well, I'm hiring people with big time unintangible stuff. How they work, how they get off the mat, how they battle and compete and handle change.
What do you mean? Jesse's been your producer for a decade, basically.
Jesse does a good job. You're going to try to get me to besmirch Jesse. I'm not besmirching Jesse today. Jesse, good work.
Thanks, Tausch.
All right, we're not going to agree. You can sit and besmirch. I think Jordan Love.
Tausch, how about this? Let's do it this way. Okay. You and I sit out of this, right?
Jesse,
in all seriousness, Jesse, I think you understand this question probably better than Tausch.
I do. I don't know better. What? No, no one's better
I
than Taush.
I just compliment
Evan.
You, and then you do that?
No one's better than Taush.
All right, let's find a new producer.
Hey,
who
Evan,
do we got?
Evan
who's
and
out
I
there?
Are playing
boy,
the game.
Who else back there?
Evan and I are playing right now.
Okay, yes. Here we go. Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Build the Love LaFleur combo resume. What are the first 3 to 5 things on it?
Playoff appearances every year that Jordan Love has been the starting quarterback. Wild card upset victory against Mike McCarthy's
only
Dallas
seven
Cowboys,
seed ever win
the only seven
game.
Seed that's ever won a playoff game, and was in a position to be the number one seed in the NFC after the acquisition of Micah Parsons until several key contributors got injured late last season.
It's not an impressive resume, though, if we're being honest.
It's not an impressive resume, but it's not a bad resume. It's not an overrated resume. It's about
Jesse
right where they should be.
Much better job. Jesse did a much better job building the resume. Taush's reaction is literally perfect, which is it's not the greatest resume. It doesn't mean it can't be. It just means it's not.
Evan, were you as good? What did you do before Morning Men on radio stuff?
I was on ESPN West Palm for 20 years.
Okay. So your first 3 years... And now I'm comparing it to what you're doing. Great show nationally. You got it. You acclaimed winning whatever you do. And your resume. You're telling me if I asked you after your third year that you what your resume was, would it have been, oh, my God, we got to have this guy? Or is it, boy, he just keeps getting better and better. He works his tail off, and he's somebody you want on your team. I want Jordan Love
well,
on my team.
I
want Jordan Love in that
year.
Huddle. His growth has been very good. And that
but
is something. I can't
year.
Put it
you're
on a resume. Go ahead.
But you're just making stuff up because that's
who's
not
making
his third
stuff
year.
Up? You're a lot better. It is his third year. It's going to be his fourth year
it's
as a
his
starter.
Third year as a starter, not his third year in the league. So fine, if you're going to give me no, if you're going to give me so then in my case, 03, 04, and 05 don't exist. So easily, in 07 specifically, my resume would be 5 day a week. Afternoon host ESPN West Palm, weekend host WQAM in Miami, FAU football play-by-play for basketball sidelines for football, as well as University of Miami pre- and post-games for football.
That's an
and Fox
impressive
Sports Radio
resume.
Nationally.
Wow, that is...
That's after your version of year three, which is my year six, I didn't even need to get to. I
okay.
have an answer for you.
Yeah, we have an answer, we just don't like it.
So then own that. Own the fact
Fine.
That the Jordan Love
I didn't say that the resume. I prefaced the entire conversation by saying this isn't Andy Reid, Sean McVay, Sirianni. It's not. Like you can't.
Yeah, but that's the point. It's not even close to Sirianni and Hurts. Think about that. And
Think
people
about
want
that.
Both those guys gone. And they run circles around the Packers in this case.
Okay. Postseason football is what builds resumes. Period. Finn. Because I'm sitting here, I was driving in this morning, and you guys are you're trying to compare Joe Burrow to Aaron Rodgers. Shame on you for that ridiculous take. That's almost as bad as Rutledge's.
The treatment of it.
No. You said,
Rutledge,
and it Canty immediately says, he won a championship, and you're like, woo. He won four MVPs. Four MVPs. You want to do this resume battle?
You can't bring up MVPs. You just said only postseason
I'm
stuff
not,
matters.
I'm
resume.
Not the
just,
one doing the resume. You
four
are.
MVPs. You just did. No, you just did. You just brought up four MVPs. If only postseason stuff matters with resume, then Aaron's four MVPs don't matter.
I don't want to go down the resume road. You brought it up. The resume is what it is. You're going to still.
How do you feel about this? Adam Schefter, I asked this morning.
He's got a strong resume. What's his big what?
Adam Schefter, I asked something about this morning. I said, Adam, this was at 7 a.m. Central. I said, I don't like asking about people's personal lives, and I don't even like that I'm asking this.
You still did.
But Aaron Rodgers put it out there. How am I supposed to like take in this information? With his family that he posted on Instagram, which is great. Now we know where Jason is, by the way. He was the one taking those pictures.
Oh, is that right? Oh, that's an exclusive.
So.
I put that on
Adam
Channel 3000, I bet.
Adam had a great answer. He said, for someone so private, as he is allowed to be, he found it interesting that he made something so public that would allow for people at Steelers camp to ask him about it in a way that they have not been able to in years past. I thought that was interesting, right? Because if he had a reconciliation with his family and never told anybody, there's no justification for asking somebody about their family. right? Like, that's just in that way with how public
correct. Yeah,
that
I agree with you on that.
Is. But now it's, hey, Aaron, how is your bonding with your family? And he may go with, guys, I'm not going to talk about it. It's private. Well, you put it on Instagram. Kind of not private.
Why do you think he did that?
I don't know. I truly do not know.
Because he's happy.
Maybe. I hope so. That'd be if all of that is great. That is great news for him.
He very much claimed to be happy. He very much claimed to be happy the last decade, in spite of that.
Well, people claim to be happy in relationships they're in that they post on Instagram all the time, and then they break up, and then they find someone else, and then they post more pictures because they're happy in a different way.
Relationship and Instagram expert Jesse Nelson. Relationship and Instagram expert Jesse Nelson.
Yeah, is anyone coming to mind?
Yeah, what is, who are you, what's this, who are you breaking down
here? I don't really have an Instagram, so that's not really.
Well, you seem to know a lot about
you're pretty dialed.
I know a what? Thing or two because I've been around people.
You have,
or two. Yeah.
Tell me more.
So are you more of a relationship expert or an Instagram relationship expert?
I think he's a relationship expert.
I'm a pretty good relationship expert, yeah.
So are you, if you're saying, and after this would happen, but if you're saying, Mr. and Mrs. Tauscher got into a bickering match about someone's resume last night. Hmm. That they should go to you, each of them.
Oh.
The Tauscher should go to you as a relationship expert. Yeah. If there's bickering.
Yeah, good question.
Mom and dad.
Yeah.
We should.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could help moderate
I'm
that.
Sure we will.
Easily.
Tausch, can you imagine your wife calling Jesse? Hey, Jesse. Mark's really being a pain in the butt. I need your relationship advice.
Yeah, I don't foresee that happening, but you never know. I guess you never know in life.
I like the idea. I know it may not be the right day, but I like the idea of people calling the show with relationship advice questions
for Jesse. I think that is a fantastic idea.
I'm here to help.
Right, like, hey, my spouse is working late every night. I'm kind of questioning what's going on. Hey, Jesse, you know, my spouse and I have not smooched as much recently. Can you give me some advice?
We're going to open it up. Evan, we appreciate you. I know we got to get out to L.A. Jesse Nelson, Love Train. Any advice, relationship, and or vacation, give us a call, 844-770-3776. I think it's a great idea.
You want to do that now? We have so much to get to today.
We have plenty of things, and if nobody calls, nobody calls. But if someone has relationship and or vacation, because you are the vacation king when it comes to this. Any personal things that you want Jesse to diagnose in your life, we are here for you today. 844-770-3776. Now, I don't know if you have any reads or anything, but let me know.
Thanks, Evan. Appreciate you.
He's gone.
Cool.
Hey, Gally, I called.
We don't have any reads.
You
we're gonna go.
It's going out on a limb.
I mean, I'm here to help people.
That's true. And I am here for people to be helped by you.
I think I'm pretty good at helping people in relationships, and I'd be happy to provide that service for those.
The dump, if people have to go to the dump.
Yeah.
Like, you have a
good bonding experience. More Wildy and Tausch, wherever it may take us. Straight ahead, stick around.
We're on the Brewers.
This Brewers organization, the way that it operates.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
The expectation has become excellent.
Nobody covers the crew like 100.5 ESPN, Madison's home of the Brewers.
We're actually going to do this.
We got a caller.
I didn't think we'd have a caller, but we do.
I'm more concerned after seeing who the caller is. Relationship advice from me, inspired by Evan Cohen's appearance from Unsportsmanlike.
Do you really
on
think
Willy
of yourself
Tausch
as like a Dr. Phil type, that you are a really good relationship specialist?
No.
Why did but you say you did?
I have helped a couple of different couples in my life who have been like.
And you going to name any names or no?
No.
Okay.
Friends who I've been mutual friends
Cheer
with
once.
Both. Through a couple were in college, one was in high school, and a couple have been post graduation. I've helped like kind of hear both out. They've both been, you know, frustrated, concerned about different things. Helped navigate through some things. So I have the experience. I don't think I'm any good at it.
All right. Well, it sounds like you think you're an expert.
I can't believe you want to do this. It's a terrible idea. We will spend 1 minute doing it, and if it's going to be terrible, we'll never do it again. And who better to be our guinea pig for it? Ron in the Key. Good Lord. You're on Wildy and Tausch. What do you got?
I just want to say you're terrible at it, and you're a bad friend and a bad coworker. Evan came up with those two examples way too quickly. Working too late, spouse thinks you're working too late, and haven't had a lot, you know, as much smooches recently. Wasn't a theoretical from Evan. That was a cry for help. You guys weren't there for him.
You didn't help Evan.
Disappointed in you.
That is disappointing.
Don't point
Jesse.
The finger at me.
Ron is. I'm not. I'm just
here. Be good.
There's Ron. Yeah,
thanks, Ron. Appreciate you. So he didn't ask anything. All right, we'll never do that again. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. We have a lot to get to. Dom Catronio, Brewers extra inning, 620 WTMJ, going to join us around 10:30 this morning. Craig Karmazin joining us in the 11 o'clock hour, 10 for 10 series.
Yeah, built by Outdoor Living Unlimited. Get to Devontae Wyatt. I mean, I'm shocked that we haven't gotten to that.
Very significant storyline.
I think what we're seeing is the Packers are saying, this is our group that's good enough to win a championship. And I think that's fascinating.
We will talk more about that to kick off the 10 o'clock hour, and we'll do that in 2 minutes. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.